Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, Sound Guy QT with you here on another Friday afternoon. We have a great guest today, but before we jump in, some show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual. PHW in Mesa, Arizona. All-Star Wrestling up in our area in Surrey, B.C. BWW in Kelowna, B.C. PWA Connecticut in Cheshire, Connecticut. PWR in Alamo, Tennessee. And the NWA in McAllen, Texas tonight. Tomorrow night, All-Star Wrestling in Shelbyville, Indiana. SCW, where I will be, in Bremerton, Washington. PWF in Modern Vintage Wrestling, holding a joint show in Morehead City, North Carolina. MCW in Hollywood, Maryland. SLW in Albertville, Alabama. RCW in Red Deer, Alberta. ECCW in New Westminster, British Columbia. Unleashed Wrestling in Glendale, Arizona. WDW in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. ARW in Lake Station, Indiana. Funkified Wrestling in Warsaw, Indiana. TSW in Monroe City, Indiana. APW in Pikeville, Kentucky. CZW in Voorhees, New Jersey. UPW in Rochester, New York. The NWA in Nashville, North Carolina. GCW in Walhalla, South Carolina. The NWA in Kingsport, Tennessee. And Northwest Pro happening in Vaughan, Washington tomorrow night. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest to the show. He is a veteran professional wrestling referee. Randy Eller, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A pleasure to be with you.
Since today's your first time on our show, you get the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
Oh, wow. My father had taken me to the old National Guard Armory as a 10-year-old child. I was hooked ever since.
At what point in your life did it occur to you that officiating wrestling was what you wanted to do as a vocation?
Well, believe it or not, since the time I was that 10-year-old kid, I always watched Stu Schwartz in the old white T-shirt and the white pants, and I don't know, I think it started way back then, but I always had a fascination with the officials, and lo and behold, there it went.
The Florida area is historically one of the better known territories in the territory system. A lot of greats came in and out of Florida. Who are some of the people that most inspired you to follow your path into wrestling?
Wow. I always loved watching Bob Roop and Bob Orton Jr. as a tag team. I mean, something about those guys was just pure magic. So
when you,
those are my most looked after guys.
When you first got into the business of pro wrestling, was it what you sort of expected in your mind to be, or were you pretty surprised at how the business actually was once you got into it?
Ooh, I was very surprised. Complete 180 from probably anything I expected as far as it being a business. I'd never realized that until after many years of probably being in it before it ever clicked that this is a business. And since then, I've treated it like that.
As far as when you first started realizing that it is a business, who were some of the people that mentored you as far as that aspect and making sure you knew the ins and out of wrestling as a business?
Eddie Mansfield had a whole lot to do with me learning as much as I did as quickly as I did. Eddie smartened me up a lot. I was in the business probably less than 6 to 8 months, and I was working for Eddie. As you know, Eddie was the first to ever shoot television out of Universal Studios. He was the first to actually go out of any major studios like that. And I just happened to be there doing the ring and worked my way up to reffing. And I thank Eddie. We still talk to this day, and I thank him every time I get a chance. He helped my career out a lot.
Now, as far as officiating matches on television, when you first started doing that, how did it compare to the non-televised shows? Did you have to learn a different way of doing things, or was it pretty much the same as far as you were concerned?
Everything pretty much came natural to me. I mean, I had a pretty good grip on what I was getting into and how it worked, la-di-da. I always knew to stay out of the camera's guy's way, so that wasn't no big deal. I was amazed at how short the matches always was for television once I started doing TV. There's no such thing as, oh, we're going to go out here and we're going to go 20 minutes, we're going to this, and we're going to that. 5 minutes, you're going home, guys. So that was great.
Now, wrestling at Universal for Eddie Mansfield was, I'm sure, a little bit different than what you had been doing prior to that. Did you notice a difference as far as how the wrestlers approach their matches in any way? Obviously, they're a little bit shorter, but did you notice kind of a different mindset as far as how they prepared for the matches, or maybe how serious they took a match?
Well, Eddie was a big believer in characters. If you can go back and ever watch any of the old IWF tapes that he put up back in those days, he had a lot of characters and liked the characters to develop a certain body part, whatever, to work on, and make sure that it was worked on one part, not just bouncing all around. It was real wrestling back then to try to make it believable.
Now, you have the experience with Eddie Mansfield promotion there, but you also eventually made your way to World Championship Wrestling as a referee. They were pretty much a television product more than anything. Did the fact that you had worked for Eddie Mansfield's promotion when it was a televised product help you get that foot in the door, or had they hired you based off of something else?
Well, when I got my shot, I was told straight up, like most of everybody usually is, we're going to give you a tryout. If we like you, you will be asked to come back. And if we don't like you, well, you had your one day in the sunshine. And thank God that I did have that experience from Eddie to fall back on. So when it comes time to send the guys home and stuff, I'm not up there advertising it. And I knew how to communicate well with the ring and get around. And so, yes, it helped me tremendously.
At that point in time when you first started there, who were the people in charge at WCW, and who did you report to as far as what your normal day-to-day work was concerned?
Well, I always rode with Nick Patrick. It started out, it was me, Nick, and Pee-wee at the time. Randy Anderson. And then we'd bring in Jimmy Jett at a few occasions because he was in Orlando quite a bit in the mid-90s during the Olympics in Atlanta. So he went for quite a while. And a lot of us would stay at Jimmy's motel. So we used him quite a bit. Everybody I checked into would mostly would be Jody. And of course there was Paul Lorndorf, Kevin Sullivan, Bischoff. Got all of those, but mostly I checked into Jody. That's who I went through. That's who I did all of my talk and negotiate and everything went through Jody.
Now, WCW, I'm sure, is a totally different animal from your previous employments in wrestling. Was WCW, in your opinion, more of an actual business for you, or was it ran similar to how you had done business in the past with different promoters?
Well, it was basically the same, but the money was way, way, way better. And thank God that I was prepared for the time that I did get there, that I used my head correctly and I used what I made correctly. So I did very well. I had a very good time there. I traveled all over. I've been, five different foreign countries. I mean, I've been all over the United States. I've done more than I ever, ever, ever dreamed as that 10-year-old kid way back then. Still doing it today.
One of the things that is just the nature of the business that nobody likes to see happen is injuries. I'm sure you've been in there when guys have been injured from time to time. What were some of the bigger injuries that you've seen in your career?
Ooh, I've seen a lot of knees get blowed out. I've seen a lot of real fights in the locker room, of course, as well. Mostly knees are the biggest thing I see get blowed out, I would say, in my career. A lot of knees.
When a guy blows a knee, are you able to notice that right away and try to adapt the match to work around the injury, or was that something that a lot of times you weren't really privy to knowing until afterwards?
Oh, no, absolutely. I will spot it quick. I can look at their face and can tell. And if I think there's a bit of pain, I'm the first there to ask them. I'll ask them if they can continue. I'll let whoever they're working with know that he's hurt, whether he can go or not. No, I do my job very well.
On a similar vein, have you yourself had to suffer very many injuries in there?
Ooh, I need to probably get both knees redone myself as we're speaking, but I'm going to try to hold off a couple more years.
Now, I myself also referee professional wrestling. I know we have a couple of people in common who we have officiated. I know what I did as far as refereeing for Tokyo Monster to Haggis, but could you give me some of the things that you have had to do to control the Tokyo Monster when you've officiated him?
I will say right now Tokyo Monster is one of my favorites on the independent scene. I love that guy. We travel together a lot. Mostly when I'm in the ring with him, I just find a corner and enjoy the show because he's going to take care of business like no one else today.
Very similar to what I do whenever I'm in there with the Tokyo Monster Kagas when he makes his way to the Northwest.
Yes, he's a good guy. Very highly recommend any promoter out there book Tokyo Monster Kagas.
Absolutely. I'm sure since you have traveled quite a bit in your career, you've had venues that you didn't care as much for and venues that you loved going to. What were some of your favorite venues where you've gotten to work?
Favorite venues? Wow. I was lucky enough to do the last ever pay-per-view in the old St. Petersburg Bayfront. Remember, that was big for the old Florida wrestling. So, yeah, I got to do a world title change there. So that was really cool to do that. The Omni was neat. I always liked the Scope. I always liked the Baltimore Arena. Denver, I liked the Pepsi. Whew, so many places, way more better than bad, I will say.
WCW is known for occasionally doing shows outside, and I'm sure you've come across several independent promotions that run outdoor shows when the weather permits. Did you enjoy doing the outdoor shows?
Yes, we did the very first one up in Sturgis, Hog Wild it was. That was fun. That was great. They didn't have no chairs. Everybody pulled up on their motorcycles, sit on their bikes for the crowd and just revved their motors. It's really cool.
Now, for the Hog Wild crowd, it was a very different crowd compared to your standard wrestling audience. Were they a hard crowd to work in front of, or was it pretty easy to get them to react how you wanted?
I thought that it was very easy. I mean, bikers are usually in a good partying mood, and they like a good rowdy time, so didn't take much to get them riled up that night.
Now, what would you say historically, as far as areas, has been the hardest crowd for you to be able to get entertained in front of the fans there?
I would probably be overseas somewhere, I think. Bonaire and Curacao. There's one of those islands down there, and we had to come out through chicken wire, and I thought it was going to be a really, really, really rowdy crowd. But believe it or not, they sat there, and there was no emotion, no reaction. It was like working in an empty arena. But yet there was probably 7,000 people in this big stadium.
When you're doing a show like that and they're that quiet, is it harder for you to do what you need to do, considering it's so quiet in there, or do you just continue on as you normally would?
Actually, I try to pick the pace up and kind of hurry it up so we can go find something better to do that night.
I've been there myself a time or two.
If they're not happy, I'm not happy either. We'll get someone to be happy.
One of the parts of wrestling that is absolutely necessary, of course, is promoting. Have you ever promoted a show on your own?
No, thank you. Not on my own. I don't care to do that. I've seen so many people lose so much money trying. No, thank you. I'll come work for you. I'll help you out all I can, but that's the best I can do.
Now, since you're very experienced in the business, when you work for independent promotions today, do the newer promotions sort of seek your advice to kind of guide them as far as what needs to be done, what they shouldn't be doing, things of that nature?
Yes, I am working with one group down out of, I'm in Florida, of course, working down out of Miami. It's called Fightin' Evolution Wrestling. For anybody who would like to look them up, please do. But I am in charge of all of the refs there. And they do have a school going very good. And I go down there every now and again and help out with the students. And at all shows, as soon as I get there, they are sent to me. to find out what needs to be done, what can they do to cater to everything and make sure everything's taken care of on our end.
We have a game that we like to play on this show called Word Association, where I'll throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into mind to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Let's play.
All right. First name, Randy Savage.
Randy Savage. I liked him. He was very light with the elbow off the top rope. He owes me beer.
Kevin Sullivan.
Kevin Sullivan, great guy, great guy, great guy.
Nick Patrick.
That's my riding buddy. I love Double D. I get to see him coming up in June. I'll see Nick again. Shout out to Nick.
Rusty Brooks.
I love Rusty Brooks more than anything in this world. That man does not get enough credit for the people he has helped in the wrestling business. Thank you, Rusty, for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rusty.
Medusa.
I had fun times with Medusa. Fun times with Medusa. She worked
David
the Hogwild show, as a matter of fact. Excuse me?
David Penzer.
David Penzer. We always got along good. Never had no problems with him. But then again, he never booked me, or I didn't have to go through David. But
Greg Valentine.
I love Greg the Hammer. Holy Christ, I love Greg the Hammer, too. Another good guy. I saw him last January. I was back with Greg again. Good to catch up on old times.
Matt Hardy.
Never met the Hardys.
Dusty Rhodes.
I always loved Dusty. He was all around in WCW when I was up there, and he always treated me with just the kindest words and always just as nice as he could be to me. I love Dusty. God bless you, Dust.
The final name, Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko, holy cow, the living legend himself, man. Larry, shout out. I miss you, brother.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know QT has some questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him.
All righty.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, hello, Randy.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Randy, I'd like to tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that I'm doing this interview while I'm stopped at the Tudor Lake rest area on I-5.
All right. I'm
yes.
outside a building getting ready to walk in, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Randy, we usually start out the second half of the show, even when I come on, with the standard question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've ever received in the ring?
Ooh, that would have been from a local guy by the name of Casey Thompson.
Oh, okay.
Worked as a Terminator.
Oh, the Terminator. Oh, okay. Now, have you ever met a wrestler named Madman Pondo, and has he ever knife-edge chopped you?
No, I don't believe I've met him.
Well, Randy, is Ignite Wrestling still active in the Vero Beach area of Florida?
They're starting back. I believe she's starting around May, I want to say. I'd have to look in my books, but yeah, she is starting back.
Oh, okay. Now, from my research into Ignite Wrestling, I knew it was still going strong in 2016. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm working with a big group out of Miami. It's called Fightin' Evolution Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
And we're running shows basically every other week. We've got, I think, 7 shows booked for weekend. We've got 3 meet and greets booked. We have legend shows. We have midgets. We have girls. I mean, it's going to be a concert. I mean, we just got everything going.
What's the hardest knife edge chop you've ever received from a midget?
I've only worked with the midgets once, and we didn't even get to do nothing fun because it was raining. It was an outside show. So we didn't want to do nothing too much with the rain to stick with that.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Randy, what prompted me to look into Ignite Wrestling is a wrestler who goes by the name of Martin Harris, or maybe it's Martin Stone. And I was impressed by his high aerial attack. Are you familiar with Martin Harris or Martin Stone?
I know him very well. He works a lot overseas and stuff. He just did that WWE UK tournament, I believe. Danny Burch or something they called him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
now,
great guy,
true?
Great worker.
Oh, okay. Is it true that he is from the mean streets of Birmingham, England?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Ah, I knew it. Oh, okay.
Yep.
True that he's a close friend with Sir Lord Alfred Hayes?
That he could be. I have never asked a lot of personal questions, though, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Randy, are you familiar with a wrestler named Timmy Lou Retton, who we have had on our show before?
Yes.
Timmy Lou Retton.
Yes. Yes, I worked with him once before. He came down to Florida. He did a little loop down here. I got to work with him on a Friday and Saturday night for 2 different groups.
Oh, all right. Well, if you and he were to have a competition where you both had to do the balance beam, which one of you would get the higher score, say at like an intermission at a wrestling event on the balance beam?
Timmy Lou all the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm not very coordinated anymore.
Well, now, if both you and Timmy Lou Retton were on the balance beam, which one of you would be dubbed America's Darling for their effervescent smile and poise?
That could probably be a draw there now.
Oh. Oh, okay.
We could both show them the pearly whites.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, you know those gymnasts, you know, while they're going through that balance beam routine, they're doing those backflips and they have to come up smiling. Yes.
Right. As soon as I hop up there, all I'm going to do is sit down and smile, though.
Oh, okay. Well, Randy, some enthusiasts trace the history of muscle cars back to the 1949 Oldsmobile Rocket 88. But the heyday of this Genoir ran from 1965 to 1970 before collapsing under the weight of higher gas prices, more stringent exhaust emission regulations, and soaring insurance costs. What is a muscle car? There isn't a settled definition, but most experts agree it's a smaller 2-door car powered by a high displacement engine typically found in a larger full-size sedan. My question is, are you a big fan of the 1967 Pontiac GTO with a 400 cubic inch V8, or would you prefer a 1969 Chevrolet Camaro ZL1?
Could I trade them both for the car that I have now?
Yes.
I'll take the car I have now, then.
Oh, okay. Now, have you ever ridden down to the ring in one of those cars that I just mentioned, like a Pontiac GTO?
No, I haven't. No, I drive a 1972 Dodge Dart. I took a 1969 440 block and had it bored and stroked out to 508 inches and tucked in it. So that's pretty much my definition of a hot rod.
Holy smokes, a Dodge Dart. Now, are those the ones with the concave back window, the ones that are bowled in?
Yes, okay. You remember them well.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Well, I've had this car since the early 90s, and I can recall driving it over to Fort Myers. We did a Monday Nitro out of there, and me and Big Bubba, boss man, was sitting out in it. And he told me that if he had a car like that, that he would redo it and make it a hot rod. And by golly, I listened to what Big Bubba said.
Would you say that this Dodge Dart has been the car that you have made the longest road trip in with another wrestler or referee?
Oh, absolutely. No, I used to drive this car all over God's green earth. I loved it because it had the old slant six in it way back then, of course. Good on gas. Whew, you could drive it all day long for $5.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you have enough room to work on it with tools without any computers getting in the way.
I did. Not no more. Now that it's got the big motor in, I have absolutely no room now.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
No.
Well, to your knowledge, have you ever been in the ring with a wrestler who drove a lime green Pacer?
Lime green Pacer?
Yes.
Not to my knowledge. I'm sure some of them probably have, though.
Oh, okay. Well, have you ever gone on YouTube and watched the legendary drag races between Big Daddy Don Garlitz and pioneering women drag racer Shirley Cha-Cha Modelli?
I go up to Big Daddy's all the time. He's got a place in Ocala, Florida. And like the first weekend of November of every year, he has a big Mopar show up there. And me being a Mopar guy, of course, I take my vehicles up there, as a matter of fact. I've got pictures of Don Sutton in my Dart now since I've redone it. And he signed a trunk lid for me and everything else.
Oh, that's great. Now, how often has Don Garlett seen you in the referee role in your black and red striped shirts?
Hopefully he used to see it every Monday night.
Oh, okay.
And still watches YouTube. But maybe he has the net, whatever they call it.
Wow. Now, in your opinion, would Big Daddy Don Garlitz, if he had gotten into the wrestling business himself, would he be a natural babyface or a heel?
He could have played both.
Oh, okay.
He would have been great. Okay. He would have been like a Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. Wow, Ric Flair, okay. Now, if we could go back in time and have a Big Daddy Don Garlitz, Shirley Cha-Cha Modowney steel cage match, say like in 1982, which one of them, in your opinion, would come out on top?
Big Daddy, he drives the Mopar.
Oh, okay. Now, you have to bear in mind that it takes nerves of steel to drive a rocket with high-octane burning fuel at 220 miles per hour. So I kind of get that those qualities are also burned into Shirley Cha-Cha Modowney.
I bet they are.
Oh, okay. Now, were you a big fan of Eddie Guerrero's lowrider that he drove to the ring, or maybe JBL's Cadillac with the Longhorn steer horns on the front hood?
No, thank you. Give me my good old American muscle car. I want to get there
quick. All right. Well, I bet you that Eddie Guerrero's lowrider had the slight edge on speed over JBL's Cadillac.
I probably did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, I was very impressed with the photos of the Florida National Guard Armory. Is this one of your more favorite venues to referee?
I loved that building because that was the very first building I ever got to see pro wrestling in. So when I had the opportunity to go back into that building and referee, yeah, it was like full circle. It just came around for me.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners when the first match you refereed in that building was?
Just a couple of years ago for Ignite. maybe 2015, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they
it's
have
been
a good
quite a number of years.
Oh, okay. All right. Do they have a good concession stand?
Not as good as it was in the 70s, but not bad for today's venues.
Wow, all right, okay, okay. In the 1970s, what was your favorite meal to get from that said concession stand?
Hot dog and popcorn.
I see you say that
way I could get the wrestlers.
Hesitation.
Of course, that way I could have the wrestlers sign my popcorn box.
Wow, okay. Well, Randy, is it true that in 1985, you were in a progressive rock band called Cards Subject to Change?
False.
Oh, false. Okay. I see. Now, do you yourself play a musical instrument?
No, I listen, just bang my head, but I don't play nothing.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, did you ever have a chance to meet Ted Turner, founder of WCW Wrestling?
I saw him on, I think, two different occasions.
Was this at a staff meeting for WCW?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, Randy, is it true that you refereed some WCW matches when Booker T was with the WCW? And if so, did he invite you to do the Spinneroonie?
No, I was never invited to do it, but yes, I worked with them many, many times. Many times.
Oh, okay.
Especially they were still doing the Harlem Heat back then. This was before
the
Spinneroonie came around.
Heat.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, in your opinion, was the Harlem Heat one of the top 10 tag teams of all time?
I love you, Booker, but no, I can't put them in the top 10 of all time.
Wow, none. Okay, all right, kind of surprising.
I gotta be honest.
Okay.
You want me to name tag teams? I'm gonna throw them from the 70s at you first.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us some of your favorite tag teams from the 70s? Say your top
five. Bob Roop and Bob Orton Jr., number one, above all else. Right there. I liked Dusty Rhodes, Slater when they were a team here in Florida. I liked Gorgeous George Jr. I liked Bobby Shane together. That's about three right there. The Infernos. You know, they was all heels. Something about being a bad kid. I liked the Infernos with the Loaded Boot. Memory of the Loaded Boot. Oh, then of course you got the Road Warriors. Who couldn't love them? Rest in peace, Mike. I love you, brother. Steiner Brothers, they were great. Wow, there's just been so many good tag teams around. The Four Horsemen, so many that group that just is so awesome.
Now, Sanjay mentioned. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Sanjay mentioned the territorial days. Back in the Pacific Northwest in the 1970s, we had some very good tag teams out here, like Rip Oliver and his clan, the Kangaroos, and the Von Steiger brothers. Did you ever have a chance to referee on the West Coast?
No, I haven't. I've made it out... Well, I've been out in Colorado, I've been to Wyoming, Montana, been all out in there, South Dakota, New Mexico, Texas, but I haven't quite made it to California or the Great Northwest just yet. And I love Seattle, because Seahawks.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it is the trading season now. Free agency for football, yes, following that closely. Yeah. Are you familiar with the tag team, the Kangaroos, that used to wrestle
yes.
in Portland? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sir
well, there's
Charles
a few different There was a few different variations of them, I believe, wasn't there? Al Heffernan was on one of them groups, and I remember they used to have the manager in Florida, Wild Red Berry, it was, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, but yeah, there's been a lot of different variations of the Kangaroos. But I have some posters from Jacksonville back in the late 60s with a lot of them on there, with the Von Brauners, the Steigers, as you mentioned earlier, on there. Yeah, they've all come through Florida as well, Rip Oliver.
Yes, Kurt and Carl Von Steigers, who used to wear the red iron cross on the wrestling boots.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Randy, can you tell us the first time, let's say, a kid under the age of 12 came up and asked you for an autograph? Was that a defining moment of your career?
Yes, and to this day, I still, if they do come up to me and want an autograph, I will take the time and sign it. I was one of that little kid, so I know how it feels.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, have you ever had a kid that collected your autograph, say that when he was 12, and later, maybe about 10 years later or 15, come up to you and say, hey, you signed an autograph for me and I decided to pursue a referee full time? Have you ever had that happen?
No, but I've had kids come back some years later and show me a picture from when I first started and all of that that I sent them.
Wow, okay. All right. Now, have you ever been to the Cauliflower Alley Club meetings?
Not yet, I haven't. No, I do need to make it out there one of these years.
Now, the world of wrestling was saddened by the recent departure of Outlaw Ron Bass. Did you have a chance to meet Outlaw Ron Bass?
Yes, I met Ron Bass on several occasions. We have a thing in Florida here. It's called Florida Legends Lunch. Matter of fact, I had one today over in Tampa, and I used to go to them quite a bit, and Ron would always be there. I've seen him at a few signings, and I always thought the world of Ron Bass.
Wow, okay. All right. Now, Randy, did you ever have a referee match with a boogeyman? And if so, did he ever make you eat a worm?
Yes, I like the boogeyman. He comes and works with us here at the group I'm with now in Florida all the time. Well, not all the time, but he's been down quite a few times with us. And fortunate for me, no worms yet. Keep fingers crossed on that.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Randy, have you ever been called the Red Referee? And if so, did Sammy Hagar, who is known as the Red Rocker, give you this nickname?
No. But yes, I have been called that. No, Sammy Hagar did not give that to me. I took it upon myself in memory of old Billy Red Shoes Lyons, the referee, if you remember way back, to where I started wearing the red tennis shoes myself, the red shoes. And then I, lo and behold, found me a red and black striped shirt. So since then, I've become known as the Red Ref. Rock on.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, do you yourself have any brothers and sisters that have also gone into refereeing? Or if they didn't, did you have any brothers and sisters that backyard wrestled with you as a youngster? And did you hold your own backyard matches?
I held my own backyard matches, but my brothers and all was quite a bit older than me, so they never partaked with me, but all the neighborhood kids sure got.
Did you ever have a chance to referee up in Canada? And did you ever have a chance to meet Stu Hart?
No, I haven't either. Any promoters in Canada, do take bookings. Shout out for there if you want. I'm available anytime. I'd love to see Canada.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, did you ever have a chance to meet legendary ring commentator Gordon Solie?
Yes, I did. I've met Gordon Solie a few occasions. I had his book. He signed it for me. I had him sign it over in Winter Haven at a show for me.
Oh, wow.
Matter
all
of
right.
fact, I own Gordon's Air Force bracelet. I own that.
Oh, all right. Can you tell our listeners what the name of that book is?
If you wouldn't have asked me, I probably would have told you. But right off, I can't think of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, can you tell us when you are in action next?
I am in action next in Orlando. I arrived there on Wednesday, the 29th. We begin shows on the 30th. We're going to be at the downtown Orlando Rec Center. Fighting Evolution Wrestling is the name. Look us up on Facebook, on the internet. We're going to be doing shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to have midgets, ladies. We've got all kinds of stuff for everyone. So please come see us. Give us a shout out. I'll be there. I'll be happy to talk to anyone.
Now, Randy, you mentioned that you refereed a match at the Sturgis Bike Rally. One of the more iconic moments in movie history about bikers occurred in Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure when Pee-wee told a group of bikers to shush when he was using the phone, and he also knocked over some of their bikes. And to get out of trouble, Pee-wee Herman had to dance the tequila song on the tabletop and win the bikers over. My question is, how well do you think Pee-wee Herman could have done in a steel cage match with Goldust?
Not very well.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Dust would put up with that.
Oh, wow, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Yes, and it was good talking with you.
Thank you very much. You have a great evening, everybody.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You too.
Thank you, QT. Well, Randy, one of the things that's been a little bit of a controversial subject in the last few years in pro wrestling is blood in wrestling. There's people that are very against having blood in matches. There are people that are fine with it. There's people that are indifferent. Obviously, you've been around long enough. You've seen blood in a lot of matches. Do you have a personal stance on that issue as it relates to 2017?
I say bring back the blades. As long as they're being tested, everything's okay. I would lot rather see a little flick of a blade than all of these guys getting hurt like they are now. The guys, it's crazy. Look at the WWE, how many guys are hurt. How many guys are always hurt up there. And it's nonsense. Slow it back down. Let it register, mean something. Give it a meaning again. Bring out a blade every now and again. Don't have to be every night. Every now and again.
Like we've been saying, you are still very active in wrestling as a referee. Who are some of the younger talents that you see coming up in your area today? Do you think are going to be the stars in this business in the next 5 years?
I cannot believe somebody has not signed Tokyo Monster Cahagas yet. That is just beyond belief to me right there. But there are just so many guys out there right now that anybody that was wanting to start a wrestling federation, a promotion, you could do it. I mean, there's enough talent around that you don't need the big-name guys to make something good happen.
Now, obviously, you have been around to where you've seen a lot of different matches as far as stipulations go. Did you have any particular favorite stipulation match to officiate?
No, I like them all. They're there doing my job now.
What would you say was the strangest one that you've had to do so far?
A three-shot match, it would be called. Something where a guy gets knocked down. If he gets up before the 10 count, the guy that knocked him down has to take 3 shots, and that gets pretty crazy. Of liquor.
Now, was it the liquor or was it a move that ended that match?
The liquor. To do about 20 shots, you're wasted. You're not going to do much after that.
I could see that. Now, up here in our neck of the woods in the Northwest, a lot of wrestlers have been taking to tea drinking after a match as an antioxidant to kind of flush out the system and to rehydrate. In your day, did you see much tea drinking out of the wrestlers?
No, I still haven't. Gallons of water.
Now, for your own personal conditioning, did you have a set diet and exercise regimen that you were partial to using, or was it just kind of on the job keeping condition?
No, like I said, I live here in Florida, so I'm right by the ocean, so I do a lot of swimming, a lot of walking on the beach, a lot of bike riding. So I stay in pretty good shape. I've always been fairly good at that.
In your career, have you come across very many wrestlers that did not have the proper conditioning that after just a couple of minutes were spent and they still had several minutes to go on television?
Tons of them I've seen. I laugh at it. Happens all the time. Guys think they can do it.
First time that happens to you in a match, what did you have to do to try to cover for the wrestler?
I let the other guy know that the guy he's working is definitely blown up and let him handle it from there. If you want to beat him up, beat him up. I don't care. That's what he gets for blowing up if he gets in the ring when he's not conditioned to be in the ring. That's what I would do.
Absolutely. I think I'd be right there with you. Just based on your own personal views throughout your career, obviously you work with a lot of really great minds in the business. Who would you say, in your opinion, has one of the all-time greatest minds for professional wrestling?
Kevin Sullivan? Jake Roberts? Quite a few out there.
Road trips I've been on, I will second Kevin Sullivan. Well, we got just a few minutes left in the show today, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote absolutely anything you want, social media, upcoming appearances, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Randy Eller, professional referee, over 27 years experience, available booker for bookings. Promoters, look me up. I am on Facebook. It's Randy Eller. I will be in Orlando, Florida, all WrestleMania weekend. We are at the downtown Orlando Rec Center. We begin on Thursday, March 30th through Saturday, April 1st. We have 7 shows, wrestling shows. We have 3 meet and greets. It's going to be a great time. We have a concert, Orlando Downtown Rec Center. If you're in town for WrestleMania weekend, swing in. It's going to be a great time. We'll have a party.
Well, Randy Eller is...
Me up. Randy Eller, Facebook. Find me.
Absolutely, one of the best referees you will find out there. Tons and tons of experience, so promoters, definitely use him on your show. Randy Eller, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I look forward to seeing you in the future. hopefully you'll come back, talk to us some more on a different date, and best of luck as you continue forward with your career.
Anytime, guys. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, and everyone take care and have a great and safe weekend.
All right, fans, if you're on a place that is near a show with Randy Eller on it, definitely check out his work. He's an excellent official, knows a lot about this business. And if you're looking for wrestling this week, there's lots out there. Search out a local independent. Give it a shot. You can catch myself in Bremerton, Washington for SCW. And we will be back here with you on Sunday afternoon. Air Paris will be on the show on Sunday. Should be an outstanding time. And we will talk to you then.